appreciate that beautiful song. Thank God for the blood. Amen. I was thinking as she sung that, I always enjoy that part of the Passover lamb there, as God was bringing his children out of the bondage there, and those firstborn. And I got thinking about what the Bible says, you must be born again. You know, that firstborn was going to die without the blood. I was born May 24th, 1969. As a little baby boy into this world. But if it hadn't been for that blood, that firstborn, I'm not the firstborn in our home, but this firstborn of who I am had to be born again. So it's something to me. People say, well, just, you know, if you wasn't the firstborn there, you didn't have to worry about it. We're all firstborn out of Adam. But I'm glad I got a second birth. Amen. So I praise the Lord for that. I was listening. I take your Bible this evening to the book of John. You can be turning as I ramble a little bit, John chapter 20. I was listening to WPIP on the way over here, and if you can get WPIP, you can get on the internet, I know, but one of my vehicles will pick it up in Salisbury, and one of my vehicles won't. And WPIP is the radio station out of Berean Baptist Church over at Brother Beatty's, and there was had a talk type thing on as I was coming to church, and there was a guy on there that was speaking, and this guy graduated from Chapel Hill back in the 70s. He was an all-pro football player, saved, just had a great testimony. And he does work for the North Carolina something, children, something other, something other. He was talking to about dads, and he gave a statistic. He said when in the 1960s, it was like 20-some percent of all children, or all children in the U.S., something like that, was born into a single-parent home. And he went and run through all those numbers of how those children turn out. And Brother Rick knows that. They see a lot of that in the prisons because of the lack of an influence of a daddy or the lack of influence on a parent. And but he that was in the 60s. It was like 18, 20%, whatever it was. And now, I don't remember the exact number, but it's just exploded. The number of children today that are being raised in homes without any type of fatherly figure, and he went through and showed, even with daughters, you know, most people think, you know, a son needs a daddy. He went through and showed how girls are affected without a daddy in the home, and I thought, wow, you know, we don't think about that stuff enough. So it was a great little thing. And he made this statement. I wrote this down. I like little quotes, and you know, this is just a good quote. It says, talking about, you know, sort of like what she just sung about, you know, the nation of Israel was given something to do. But this is what he said. He says, fail to prepare means you prepare to fail. Fail to prepare means you prepare to fail. We need to get a hold of that. People's living like there is, you know, like there's nothing coming. Something's coming. And let me back up. Someone's a coming. And the people act like he ain't coming. And then there needs to be some preparation. So if they don't prepare, they'll be prepared to fail. And so I thought that was a great little quote. John chapter 20 this evening. Let's stand together if you can as we read here this evening. Great account. There's just a little word I want to, or three little words that I want to look at this evening in this text. And we probably won't be that long. The Bible here, the Lord Jesus Christ after the crucifixion. Here in verse number 19, we'll begin reading. Says, then the same day, this is John 20 verse 19. John 20, verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we sure thank you, Lord, for God, just the good songs that we've enjoyed together, our fellowship tonight. God, just to be able to come together once again, Lord, as believers tonight, Lord, just God hungry for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight you sure would help us. God, I thank you for our mothers today once again. Lord, I thank you for these ladies, God, to the best of their abilities, Lord, trying to be that mother, that grandmother, Lord. I pray, God, that you just encourage them. God, I know sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's endless work, but God, I just pray, Lord, you'll help them, give them strength. And Lord, help us as a church, God, to be that light and that salt in these days. God, help us to love. God, help us to reach forth, Lord. And God, again, I pray, if there be anyone that's lost here tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to that heart. God, let them see, Lord, what they need. And God, I just ask you again, Lord, to help us tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, most of us know this story here this evening. Again, we know, again, the course, you know, the gist of everything sort of stems around Thomas and, of course, doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't with the disciples the first time the Lord comes there. And, he, you know, the Lord speaks to the disciples and the disciples come and, hey, Thomas, you missed out. And, boy, it'd be good if the church would be like that. Hey, go to work tomorrow. Hey, you should have been at church yesterday. You sure missed something. People would get excited about what we're doing and what God's doing in our lives. It would cause them to want what you've got. We walk around with the mully grubs. People, why in the world would they want what we got? But when we can show them, and it ain't, shouldn't be a put on, you ought to be excited about what the Lord's done in your life. If you're saved this evening, you're only going to heaven. Amen. And but Thomas didn't show up that day, and when the Lord came, he wasn't there. And they came to him and bragged on about the Lord being there and how you missed. And Thomas said, well, I ain't going to believe that unless I can see it myself. And we know how the Lord showed up 8 days later, and Thomas, Lord looked right in. It ain't amazing how the Lord knows. Amen. And the Lord knows your heart this evening. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what you're thinking, what you're doing. And he looked at Thomas. Can you imagine the poor old Thomas? Hey, Thomas, look here. You want to touch it? Hey, Thomas, look over here. You want to touch it? Thomas, instantly, my Lord and my God. And what a great thought. But what I want to look at, and this has been on my heart all week when I just think about this verse, and I this has happened to me. What happened, preacher? This is all back in the New Testament times. How can anything happen to you? There's a little phrase right here that just tickles me so much because I've experienced this. And if you're saved, you've experienced this. And there's only one area that I'm going to touch tonight that I hadn't experienced yet, but I will experience it. What are you talking about, preacher? Look with me again there in verse number 26. It says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. And I like this next phrase. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. I'm glad this evening that the Lord shows up, amen? I'm glad that the Lord comes to where you are. People say, well, I was looking for him. You wasn't looking for him. He came to where you were. And here we have those disciples gathered up in that room. They'd done seen him one time. And here they are locked up, shut up in that room, scared to death of what was going on around about him. And I think that's sort of how we are. But then came Jesus. And I will tell you this evening, the Lord, he'll always be on time. He'll never be a minute early. He'll never be a minute late. But then came Jesus, and I thank God for that. And I thought probably one of the greatest examples of that was back with Lazarus over there. When Lazarus, we know, was in the grave there, and we know how his sisters sent for the Lord, and when Lazarus was sick, and they sent for the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, we got to hang out here. And he waited, and he waited, and then Lazarus dies, and they bury him. And then the Lord says, okay, we can go. And then Jesus is on his way, and Mary and Martha come out there. If you would have been here, you could have saved our brother. And they said, Jesus says, well, show me where you've buried him. Then came Jesus. And he told him to roll the stone away. And he said, come forth, Lazarus. And we know how Lazarus came forth. See, the Lord comes on time. And we need to learn this evening in my life, in your life, to understand to wait on the Lord. As we looked the other night there about the nation of Israel and how Abraham didn't wait on the Lord and he messed his life up, and because of that we have Ishmael and all of that mess. But here this evening, I got to think about that phrase, then came Jesus. Just three things this evening I want to touch on just for a moment about then came Jesus. Probably one of the greatest times of my life when then came Jesus is when I got born again. Hey, I saw myself lost. I was dead in sins and trespasses. I was in the church. I was in a Baptist church carrying a King James Bible, but I was lost, dead, on my way to hell. But then came Jesus. It wasn't the preacher that saved me. It wasn't my Sunday, and I loved my preacher, Brother Ball. Brother Blevins probably knows Brother Ball. Brother Ball loved him to death. Great man of God. I love my Sunday school teachers, Brother Bobby Henderson, Brother David Jordan. They were my Sunday school teachers at that time. I love them people, but it wasn't them coming to me, and it wasn't my mom and daddy, and I love my mom and daddy, my grandma and grandpa for getting me out in church. But it was on that day that then came Jesus. And I'm thankful tonight that I got a testimony that the Lord came to me when I was dead and I couldn't save myself. Thought about old Peter out there. And then Peter, when the Lord came walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if that be you, let me come out there with you. The Lord says, come on. And we know how Peter crawled off the boat. Everybody picks on poor Peter, but at least Peter got out of the boat is what I always like to say. I like to have some Peters in our church. Be willing to crawl out. But Peter's like we are. We get out in the midst of troubles, and he began to look at the waves and took his eyes off the Lord. And what happened? Began to sink. What'd he do? He cried out for help. Who showed up? Then came Jesus. You see, I want you to see this evening. If you're saved this evening, there's an experience in your life. There's a time when the Lord came to where you was. Hey, I think about old blind Bartimaeus, how he's sitting on the side of the road that day. And he heard that Jesus was passing by his way. He began to cry out to the Lord, and they kept saying, shut up, you're bothering, shut up. And he kept crying out. And the Lord stopped, paid attention. That's what happened in my life. Hey, I saw I needed somebody. It was more than what I could handle. I couldn't save myself. I saw myself lost and dying and going to hell. I saw myself sinking in sin. I saw that religion couldn't free me from what was inside of me. Religion couldn't give me that freedom. Being a good person couldn't do that. But then came Jesus. Aren't you glad tonight you got a testimony like that? Then came Jesus. So, again, we see that phrase, then came Jesus. So I see it as my first experience there of salvation, but I'm glad it didn't just stop there. I'm glad as I've walked along this life, as I've been saved all these years, time after time, and I'm glad this evening that we get the Holy Ghost and we know that the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But aren't you glad that in the darkest of times, aren't you glad this evening when it seems like everything's against you, when it seems like your help's failing you and your friends have forsaken you and everybody just giving you the cold shoulders, then came Jesus. Aren't you glad that God will show up in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll put His arms around you and hold you and comfort you just like a mama does her child? What is that, preacher? Then came Jesus. See, I've had preachers pray. I had to call a bunch of preacher friends this week and just ask them for something very special in my life. And I'm thankful they could pray. But only the Lord could help me. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I need you. But I got to have the Lord. If the Lord don't show up, if the Lord don't do something, that ought to be our services every week. We just ask God, God, please show up. Do we come looking for Him? The little phrase says, then came Jesus. So I think about again when I was dead in my sins and trespasses and sins. And I thought about old Peter. And I thought about, again, as I walked through this world, I thought about that old maniac over there, Gadara. How men had tried to control him. How men had tried to help him. And, you know, that's what religion tries to do. Religion tries to hold you. Religion tries to force you into their mold. But then came Jesus. And what man couldn't do and what man couldn't control, Jesus Christ came on the scene and then showed up the Lord. And the Lord changed a man that was a maniac to a man that was sitting at his feet, clothed in his right mind. I'm glad the Lord will show up. Hey, did you come looking for Him this evening? Can you leave this place and say, then came Jesus? We ought to be looking for it. So I can say this evening in my life that I know that I've had that experience. The Lord came to me and saved me. I hope you can say that. If you can't, He'll do it tonight. You got to realize this evening you need something. See, people today go so blindly through this world, they think they're good enough. I had a discussion with a man a few weeks ago, and man, we just kept running that same rabbit. He couldn't understand how we could believe it, once saved, always saved. I said, man, how could you not believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you're trusting not the Lord, but you're trusting yourself. What's the good? What's bad enough to get you out, and what's good enough to keep you in? But I just can't believe that. We went around and around and around. And finally, I left the man basically saying, look, you need to realize what you're doing is not helping nobody. He said, what you're doing is going to send you to hell and your family with you. I think hard. I said, you need to get in the book. Quit looking at what men say and see what God says. But I'm saying this evening, I'm glad that that experience is there. The Lord's still passing by. He'll still come when a man needs Him. Then came Jesus, and I'm glad I can say I've had that in my salvation. I'm glad I can say as I've gone through my life, I can look back. You know, I know that we're not supposed to look back so much as for to say, you know, live back there. Boy, isn't it good to look back and see all those times when God was holding you. When God was there, you didn't even realize He was there. That little old poem, most people know it, I don't know. What is it, Footprints in the Sand? You know, there's the most of you probably know that poem, but there's a picture of that, and there's two sets of footprints, and there's places of just one. And the guy's like, well, why did you leave me there? And God said, I didn't leave you. I was carrying you. Amen. What does that mean? Then came Jesus. And we ought to go every day in our lives looking to see the Lord. Boy, I'm glad I can look back through life and see how God was there. He never left me. He never forsake me. I could go through the darkest of days knowing the Lord was there. So I can say again, then came Jesus. But then the last one, and I believe the greatest one. Now, preacher, how could it be better than salvation? Well, salvation is what causes the next one. Bet you can't guess what it is. One of these days, there's going to be a cry. Come up hither! Why? Here came Jesus. Look over there with me. Most of you know those verses. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. Look at it. I'm not making this up. He's coming. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Are you ignorant tonight? You sit here thinking the Lord couldn't come right now? Then came Jesus. One of these days. Could be today. If He came today, would you be ready? I believe with all my heart there's so many people. I know the world's wicked. And I do, I say this, and I hope you understand it. I'm not as worried about them as I worry about the ones sitting in the pews. Now, I'm worried about all of them. I want them all to be saved. But, buddy, it'd be bad to sit in a Baptist church hearing the truth day in, day out, week after week, and die and go to hell. But there'll be a bunch of them sitting on the pew when it happens. I always thought it'd be neat if God come back on a Sunday. Then came Jesus. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself, then came Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Boy, I'm glad tonight that I can say that the Lord came to me and I'm saved. I'm glad I can testify that through my life I've seen the Lord working in my life, and not only my life, others' life. But I'm looking forward. Hey, it might be today the that he comes through the sky, but hey, one of these days I'm going to draw my last breath. Guess who's going to come get me? It won't be the undertaker. All he's coming back for an old, cold, dead body. I'll be gone. Then came Jesus. What happened to him? Jesus came by. Then came Jesus. Hey, church, we need to realize that the Lord came and saved us. We need to realize the Lord walks with us and talks with us and leads us and guides us. But we need to realize there's a day of coming. He's coming back to get his bride. Then came Jesus. Are we looking for him? Are we anticipating him? Do we desire to see his coming? Then see, most people, they talk it, but they're not really looking for it. Do you ever just think about it? Do you ever just ponder? And listen, I don't mean to say this critically because we all do it. Do you ever catch yourself thinking about the Lord coming back just because you want to get out of here? But is that all I want? That shouldn't be our desire. That's not desiring to see his appearance. There ought to be something in us that we're longing to see the one that bled and died to give us life. That was that Passover lamb that she sang about. The one that shed his blood that we could have life. That one that we saw in Isaiah chapter 49 this morning that says, this world will probably forget you. He says, but there's something in my hands. There's something in my side. There's something in my feet. He says, I'll never forget you. That's what I want to see. So this evening, then came Jesus. When's the last time he came by your house? When's the last time he came by your place? When's the last time you had a relationship? When's the last time you just enjoyed talking with him? When's the last time you just communed with him? If you'll sup with him, he'll sup with you. Aren't you glad tonight Jesus came and he's coming again? I've experienced him when he came for me for salvation. I've experienced him when he's came and held me in the palm of his hands through this old wicked world. But one of these days, he's coming again and I'm getting out of here. Amen. Then came Jesus. Let's stand together this evening. I hope.